CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Friday morning. You made it to the end of the week. Here's Leanne Moll. Here's Mbulelo. And here's you and me. And it's a nice day. It's a beautiful day, actually. We're in a little bit of summer this week because we actually had a few days of sun in a row. It's pretty wild. I mean, we're not used to that in Gauteng, where the climate has changed. Al Gore will be pleased to know. The climate has changed from savanna to, what are we now? We're like a tropical rainforest. There's pretty much rain every day in December this year. Well, last year and January of this year. So, you know, a couple of days of sun in a row and we don't know what to do with ourselves. Although there was a little bit of rain last night. The reason I know that, I can't wait to tell you this story. Good morning, Ass. Good morning, Mbulelo. How's it?
Good morrow.
Hello.
Yes.
Good. Hello.
Grand rising, as Lebang likes to say.
Salutations.
Yes. Mbulelo, I found that little bag of your rocks in the studio, your crystals. I saw them yesterday.
Rocks is a bit disrespectful.
I was there yesterday recording, and I saw your little bag of rocks, and I thought, wow, you have a whole collection there. There's little blue ones and pink ones and orange ones and all kinds of things. So it's a real serious thing with different, you.
Yeah. No, it's a different energy. If you want to capture a sort of a more feminine,
yes,
female energy,
yes.
Yeah, then you go with warmer colors, etc. You know. I don't want to go on because for the light to find you, your heart must be open.
So. There we go. See? But I'm very impressed that we haven't seen this side of you, and you know, now I can appreciate it having seen your little collection of rocks. They're in a bag that looks like it's made out of the same material as panties. Just show everybody. Don't be ashamed.
Show us your panties.
Yeah. Show us your little rock.
No, before I show
rock-filled panty bag.
That's it. And it's not rocks, it's crystals. Let's be respectful. And so, you know, all of us as human beings make this mistake. And I often hear it before I show you, obviously, the energies. And is that we often say we are human beings who have spiritual experiences, whereas we are actually spirits that are having a human experience.
Right.
So I just want to get that right.
Yes, very important.
Straight off the bat,
that's,
you know?
Good. Yeah. Speaking truth.
Here it is.
There we go. All the rocks. They're all the rocks. Look at them. So many, many rocks. Amazing. All right, that's enough of that.
Show us the panties.
Show us the little bag. Show us the little panty bag. Yeah. There it is.
I don't know who you're dating, Gareth.
No, man. You know what I mean. It's like that. Like maybe not panties. Maybe like stockings or something.
Yeah, it's like the lace, lacy,
like,
part.
It's lacy, that's what it is.
Yeah, I hear you.
Panties are certainly not made of that.
No, if they were, then I think there'd be a lot of
They're a little bit more. They're a little bit more hardy these days.
Yeah, that's that's maybe for the much more delicate type of vagina.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, last night, and I had a long day yesterday. I got to the office. I had lots to do in the morning. We had the show and everything else. And I got to the office around lunchtime. I was there for meetings most of the afternoon. I had a meeting at 5, which was canceled at like 10 to 5, which is really annoying. And then I squeezed in some gym, and then I went off to dinner with a couple that I haven't seen in a long time. And I mean, they've had one kid in the time I haven't seen them. So it's been a while. And that kid is already, I think, 3 years old or something. So it was time to catch. Yeah, time to catch up with them. Went to this lovely place in what's it called, Parkhurst. And anyway, had a lovely dinner. And then I went out to the car, and you know, the car guard comes up to you, and they're like, "Yeah, have you got some money for me? I looked after. There's your car. You know, it's all." So I'm like, "Yeah, cool. I can see my car's still there. Thanks very much. I've got some change in the car. Come, let's go." But I get there and the passenger window has been smashed out.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. And and there's glass all over the passenger seat. I'm like, oh, thank God it isn't the driver's seat, because otherwise I had to clear that glass with my hands. Anyway, I immediately go, oh, shit, hang on. I went into the restaurant. I pay with my cell phone, right? Because I've got Apple Pay on this thing.
Yeah.
And so I left my wallet in the car. And
and
I left my bag in the car with this laptop that I'm using here now, this thing.
Oh, my Lord.
But that was in the boot. Anyway, these morons who decided to rob me last night, they took they took my gym bag, these idiots. So they got nothing but a towel, an old pair of shorts, and like a little toiletries bag with like hair stuff and deodorant and crap in it. So they got nothing, you motherfuckers.
Did they not?
Nothing. My wallet was still in the door of the driver's seat. My laptop was in the bag in the boot. These morons missed all the items of value. I left them there for them, waiting. And they got fucking old gym stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe it. Sons okay, just hang on now. Where was the right. gym bag? So was it inside?
So here's the thing. The gym bag was on the floor of the passenger seat. Because I went straight from the gym to the dinner.
You're asking for your window to
be No, hang on. I mean, like, it might have been... What a clever decoy, someone would say. Not Leanne Moll, but someone else would say. What a clever decoy.
No, it's not worth the window risk.
No, but here's the thing. And like, people are going to rob a car, right? And they might rob your car. There might not be any cars with any bags anywhere in sight. And I mean, the boot of this car, you've seen that SUV that I'm driving from Phil. It's a huge car. And the boot is open. You can see it in the back, right? So there was a bag in the boot. There was my wallet in the driver's door, but they got the gym bag because it looked to them like there might have been some things of value in it. I'm so excited about this because although normally you'd be really pissed off if someone broke your car window and stole your stuff, I'm so okay with this because I'm like, you got nothing, you stupid assholes. You got nothing of value. I'm so proud of you. That's why you're stupid. That's why you're poor. And that's why you steal from people like me.
Look, I see your points. I see your point. Yeah. So just some background. I've lived in Parkhurst in three different houses. And
you used to go out there all the time. So you know the place like the back of your hand.
So every time I parked in the street, what I would do is open up, leave my cubby hole open.
Right.
So you could see there was nothing in there.
Right.
And take the, because it's a hatchback, it's easier that way. Take the backboard off so you can see directly into the boot and have nothing in there.
But what a thing to do.
I would just drive around without the backboard and then I would just open the cubby hole as I left the car.
Right.
And that would really help. Because everyone could see there was absolutely nothing in the car.
So there's the car. As I found it, there's the passenger seat full of this glass. Mm. They left my umbrella too, which is a damn fine umbrella. So they actually got nothing. I even had sunglasses. You see that little thing in the console in the middle? My sunglasses were in there. Very nice pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Oh, my Lord, Gareth.
You didn't get that either, you sack of shit. No, nothing. So the car guard still has the temerity to come up to me to ask for money after that. So I'm like, no, dude, look here.
I don't think he saw what went on.
Of course he didn't.
I have a feeling that they were busted or scared, so they just took the first thing they saw.
No, I think they went for the bag, and I'm kind of okay. Of course I didn't pay the car guard, so.
No, can't pay him for that.
No. So anyway,
yeah.
That was my adventure for last night. But, you know, it was such a nice dinner, and I was out of there by like 9:30, so it wasn't even late night. And I've just realized, like, I should have really probably Ubered. I mean, not that we were drinking or anything. But these days, why leave your car somewhere where it's likely to have this kind of thing happen? I'm Ubering everywhere from now on. I've got solutions to these problems, and I'm not going to let it get me down. You know, so many people would go, oh, the crime. And I understand, like, I should be pissed off about it, and I'll have to pay for the window to be fixed today, and that's going to be a bit of a schlep, I'm sure. But there are solutions to these things, everybody. And you know what? Life is – if the hardest thing that happens to you is that someone steals your shitty old gym bag, and it really was a shitty old bag with shitty stuff in it, how lucky am I? What a fortunate human being. What a great human, because I checked immediately. I thought, oh, God, as I got into the car, I was going to just drive away. I thought, oh, the laptop, because not so much that it is a valuable laptop or that I have information on there that's important or anything else. It was like, oh, how am I going to do the show tomorrow morning if I don't have a laptop? Mm. So I quickly went to the boot. I felt my bag. I was like, okay, your bag's still here. Laptop's still here. What did these guys get? And then I suddenly remembered gym bag, idiots.
It reminds me of a realization that hit me when I was doing television journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to get the raw footage from various, you know, overseas media houses.
Yes.
And then we would need to edit them depending on our laws and what was acceptable TV. So mm-hmm. we would see everything before we, you know, we could censor it.
Yeah.
And I remember a girl in Iraq whose mother had been shot and killed, and she was in the middle of the road, of a dusty road. And this little girl, they hadn't found her, was now hidden in this half bombed house. And she waited for days for it to be cleared, for the area to clear up, before she could drag her mom's body inside this half bombed house with her. And I thought to myself, and what are the things that are worrying me right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I must take off my backboard and open my cabbie hole so that my window doesn't get smashed.
I know.
So what? You make these tiny concessions to live your life every day, and people complain about it. Mm-hmm. Just think about what other people are going through in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of people in the comments are saying here, like Carol Jean, she says, sorry, Gareth, only a dumbass would leave valuables in their car. Yeah, but that's like those people who say when a girl's walking around in a short skirt, she's asking for it. You know, I don't go into the world like Leanne did in Parkhurst, and maybe she was just more experienced, but expecting terrible things to happen. You know, I don't go into the world. I'm in my reality. I'm not assuming the absolute worst about everyone all the time. And maybe that's a failing of mine, but I don't want to live like that in constant and perpetual fear. And I really don't like the idea that we, you know, Carol Jean or Carol Jean or whatever, you're victim blaming, baby. That's not very nice.
Yeah. And I mean, all I wanted to know, how did Jim go?
No, it was great. I got a good session in. I was very happy about that.
Okay.
No, it was a very productive day from beginning to end. So.
But also, to the contrary of Leanne's point, although Leanne's absolutely right, is that everyone thinks the problems in their lives are the biggest problems in the world, right? To somebody living in Liechtenstein in a castle, the fact that her, you know, the prince she wants to marry is the biggest problem in her life. It's as big a problem as, I don't know, whatever problems we've got. So there's also that.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is crime's not that regular, actually. Otherwise, we wouldn't be shocked. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen that often. People's cars get broken into in Australia.
It doesn't happen. It still happens. It doesn't happen that often. And I must tell you, I'm not one of those people who feels really sorry for myself when something bad does happen to me, even much, much, much worse stuff than this. I tend to get over these things fairly quickly. I'm lucky in that respect. Some people, it upsets them. It fixates, you know, they obsess, they play it over and over in their heads again and again. I mean, I've had car accidents that have been pretty awful. I've, you know, gone through stuff like that, and then you do replay it in your head. But my tendency is to move on fairly quickly and resolve the problem in a practical sense rather than internalize it and go over and over it and let it drag you down and all that stuff. And that's pure luck. I know that that's just a chemical trick that my brain is better at playing than some people's. But, you know, again, I'm so lucky to have had this happen rather than something that's a whole lot worse. You know, I've had stories in the last while of, you know, my brother was held up at gunpoint for his cell phone just last year. And that's obviously a lot more traumatic. And I think, lucky me, got away with this. I did drive home, though, worried that it was going to rain. And then I got home and had to put a plastic, you know, a black rubbish bag over it and kind of tape it on just to make sure the car didn't get wet if it rained last night. So that, I mean, if that's the biggest problem I have, lucky me. It's Friday. I'm feeling good. I have to fix a car window this morning. I'll squeeze that into all the other things I have to do. Not too
Speaking
bad.
Speaking of plastic bags, I bought those clear bags so that I can use them for recycling.
Yes.
And for some reason, they really stink.
But
noticeably.
Like a plasticky smell?
Worse. Like they've been recycled along with dog carcasses.
They
stink badly.
Oh.
So much so that, that I had an estate agent in the house, and she was standing near the bin, and I could see her kind of drawing breath and looking down. The bin was empty.
Mm.
It's this freaking bag. And then my domestic worker came in the other day, and she was like, these bags stink.
Oh.
It's so weird.
That's going to stop. You see, no good deed goes unpunished. You're trying to save the environment, and you're being punished for it with stinky bags.
Yeah, that's so weird.
That'll put me right off of trying to help anybody. Anyway, yeah, I heard a couple of stories yesterday of people where that line, no good deed goes unpunished, came up. You can't fix some problems on Earth, try as you may. And humans are getting better and better at fixing a whole lot of things, but some problems we're just not going to fix. And we've got to accept that. This idea that, you know, there are all these people that walk the earth who want to help the poor. And it comes from a good place, right? It comes from a place of like, I'm fortunate. I have things, and I have time and space, and I have purpose and meaning, and I have a life, and I have a job, and I have good relationships. And let me share the love with everybody else. It comes from a good place. But actually, you know, as the Buddhists will tell you, who the hell do you think you are that the poor are begging for your help? And sometimes they're really not. Like, obviously, if it's a beggar on the street, he's very directly asking for help or just for alms, you know, for charity. But who the hell asked you to go and, like, start a soup kitchen for the poor? Who do you think you are? They've got their own priorities and their own purpose, and they're not lining up outside your house with a petition to please help them. But these people appoint themselves out of either guilt or out of kindness. So sometimes it's a very good motivation. But like, to get involved in other people's lives. Can you imagine just pitching up at someone who doesn't have a good relationships life, and you have a good one, and you go to their door and you're like, hey, Cheryl, I've noticed that you're really shitty at relationships and I'm good at them. Let me help you. Imagine doing that, the temerity of someone doing that. Someone who's good with money going up to someone else's house and going, hey, Tom, I heard you're really shit at managing your money and you're constantly in debt and they're going to repossess your house. So let me tell you how money works. I mean, who do you think you are, you know? There is something about that, that you then insert yourself into someone else's life because believe you
absolutely
have some ability, some superiority. Like, you've got to advise yourself by being a little outside of yourself sometimes and go, actually, unless they come to you for help, who the hell do you think you are just offering help? What are you, some kind of benevolent demigod that you're walking around this earth helping the poor and helping the sick and helping the ones who've got relationship issues and helping the ones who have bad interior decoration choices? Who do you think you are?
Reminds me of the note that I found on my windscreen once.
Yeah.
When I got into the car at work, and it was from a Christian colleague, and she'd left a prayer just saying, I thought maybe you needed a prayer.
Jesus.
Just in general.
See, but that's
just,
the whole
thing.
I've seen how you operate from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to me and told me that you needed a prayer.
Yeah. You see, that's that was always the most annoying thing about probably very good people who meant well. When someone does that, they mean well. They're like, I'm praying for you, because in their minds, you need help. And also in their minds, they are the one best equipped to help you. They've decided.
They must do it.
Yeah, some really, some extraordinary part of them is so convinced. There's such an enormous amount of self-assuredness that they're going to help you, that they just offer the help that wasn't required, that you didn't ask for.
And if they don't do it, no one else will.
No.
It's their responsibility.
So a couple of comments here, like Ricardo says, Chrome has become part of life here, the feeling of having your name tag ripped off. Yeah, it is. But I mean, I'm also, you know, someone jokes here. Carl says, so Gareth, are you going to immigrate to Australia now? Yeah.
That's so good.
But listen to this. I mean, here's a much more sad situation. Akhtarini Hawk says, I have 7 stab wounds, scars, a bullet hole in my leg. I was stabbed in my hand 2 weeks ago. Jesus.
Where do you live?
Yeah, where do you live?
Come on.
Wow.
Yeah, where's that happening that regularly?
Yeah.
Hey, Michael says something. This is a good idea. Keep a few rubber snakes hidden in around the interior of your car, and you may not prevent robberies, but it will shorten the duration of the incident. Why not live ones? Keep some live snakes in your car. It's not very nice for the snakes.
You have to chain them.
Yeah, but the snakes also get very hot, and maybe that. Yeah, I don't know. Animal rights activists will get involved here, so I'm not going to go down that path. Ryan says, did you hear about that prick Nelson Mandela's grandson? I hope you don't mean that prick Nelson Mandela's grandson.
That's why commas are so important.
And apostrophes. Yeah. So, Ryan, I don't, but what's the story and which grandson is it? Because I know a couple of them. So I'd love to hear what the story is there. I didn't see anything in the news yesterday. Oh, I've got a couple of news stories for you today. Oh, man. I heard some news stories. I made notes yesterday about some of the news stories we've got to talk about.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Gracious. Yeah. It's why the biggest douchebags in the world, and I think I've said it since I started here, I find people who write philanthropist as a title on like their LinkedIn or wherever it may be, they are the biggest dicks in the world. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are, I lose immediate respect for you. Philanthropist. Yeah. Get the hell out of here, man.
And also, again,
can
you imagine the amount of hubris you have? That's the word. Hubris you have to have to appoint yourself to a position no one asked you to occupy. I always think these people who like speak on behalf of the poor or the community, you know, these people who just appoint themselves. I was like, where did you get where? Show me your mandate. Show me where they said. Yeah, a bunch of – and first of all, how do you even know all the people who supposedly gave you this mandate are poor? You don't know their financial circumstances. It's like someone will say to you, yeah, you know, that company, they don't look after their staff. And you're like, oh, really? Are you the employer? Are you the one who's paying them the salary? You care more than the person who's paying them a salary every month? That's amazing. You must be imbued with extraordinary empathy.
Yeah.
I don't see you parting with Bulelo's salary every month because you care so much about him. You know, someone's got an opinion on like, Leanne, I can't believe you work on that show with Gareth and Bulelo. They're such misogynists. And frankly, you know, meanwhile, we're with
you.
That's
a bad example because it's true.
Well, it is. It's a bad example, sure. But those people have an opinion on like our working relationship or on someone else's girlfriend or whatever. And you're like, hang on, you're actually telling me you know more than the people involved? Wow, you must have superpowers.
Hey, same thing. I learned, you know, you're eliciting some feelings I'd repressed. I learned this lesson from getting involved in someone's relationship by saying, yeah, bro, that chick's terrible. Ha! Meantime, my man... now goes and gets back together with her by that weekend. Mm. And I haven't spoken to him in 11 years, to your point. Like, where was I going? What did I think I was doing? So now I know, never give an opinion.
No.
So number one, if people are in a relationship, I never really quite trust them when they're telling me something, even if they're my best friend. Because whatever happens behind closed doors, you never quite know, gren, what's going on there. You never get the full story.
Exactly.
So it's a great point. Right. That's something I'll take forward, what you're saying.
Yeah, I do agree with you, though, that one of the very worst things is when someone says in their biography or they tell you what they do and you ask them, like, if you say, what is your job? And they say, philanthropist. Oh, like, no, you're not. You're really not. Mm-mm. I mean, I don't even think even a rich asshole like Bill Gates, who is a philanthropist just because he gives away a whole lot of his money, right?
That's the title that other people bestow upon
Correct.
You.
Correct.
Exactly. Oh.
Yeah. It's the same. It's kind of the same if a guy says he's a gentleman. I'm like, oh, who decided that?
Who would say that? Yeah. I mean, I just say I'm humble. You know what I mean? I'm the most humble person I know.
That's right.
That's about as much as I'll ever say.
That's exactly the same thing.
Which I think is fair. That's fair. That's objective. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's some interesting stuff for us to ponder this fine Friday morning. Grab yourself a cup of coffee. Let's get your day started. Hopefully you have a lot to do. And this weekend, you have a lot less to do. You can spend some time just chilling and enjoying a little bit of your hard work in the month of January. Because, of course, it is the end of the month, so many people will be paid this week. That means your bank balance may just creep back into the black instead of the red. Can only
what hope. A long month. Oof. What a long month. What a long month. I got paid yesterday, yeah. And I was so excited that I immediately got into my car and went to the shop.
No.
I didn't.
What did you buy?
I bought cigarettes in bulk.
Look at you.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I bought cat tuna in bulk.
Oh, my God.
Everything that was on sale, I was like,
look at you.
Yeah.
Have you felt a bit deprived the last few weeks, Leanne?
Yeah, definitely. I've been waiting.
Yeah. Very good. All right.
I've definitely been eating end of the month salty cracks.
All right. Well, amazing. if you've been through some redistribution of your own wealth in the last couple of days, like I did with my gym bag, then, you know, what goes around comes around. So the way I tend to think about it is that when something like that happens, the cup will be filled from some other source. So unfortunately for me, it was, you know, in some way, unfortunately, because if it was more than gym bag, I might have a lot more coming to me. But now I'm going to get, I don't know, a 50 rand bag and some crappy shorts and a towel maybe and some toiletries. That's what's headed my way.
Was the towel used?
Well, I used it at gym, yeah. I mean,
fantastic.
Was.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. So it's like a sweaty gym towel. Good luck to them.
I think what kind of towel was it? You see, that's important as well. I mean, if it was an imported Italian material,
no, dude,
perhaps you're getting back.
No. It was just a crotch towel.
No, it's like a shitty.
For sweat.
It's a really terrible gym towel. Like, I don't use good towels at the gym. Do you?
No, I just use whatever they got at the gym. I mean, I go to a pretty nice gym, so the towels there are.
You go to a gym where they give you the towels. I got you. Okay.
Mm. Laughs. It's a. You know what? In a place where there's so much crime, it's got to be a laugh style.
Right.
It's a laugh style. Okay? Going to the gym's not just about getting ripped and jacked.
Mabalulaleo. It's true, hey. If you live in a crime-riddled area, it makes more sense for you to just go to the gym with the towels, so that if they steal the towels, it's not your towels.
All right, very good. Very good. Here's some headlines for you this morning. I'm going to go through my headlines. I mean, Simpiwe and Dori have cooked up a whole lot of headlines here for us, and I promise you. So we got Pam and Tommy. Pamela Anderson, do you really care about that? I'm going to say no. Pamela Anderson.
I always do.
Pamela Anderson's 60-something years old, right?
Wow.
She was complaining the other day in the news that she broke up with her fifth husband. And she says, she goes, she has the temerity to say, I am, he wasn't the one.
No.
It's like, really?
She still thinks that there's just one person in the world.
But she's been through five husbands already. But she's like, he's not the one. I'm like, Pam.
Shocker.
Pam, baby. Pam, honey. And I mean, what guy in the whole world didn't at one point think Pamela Anderson was hot, right? Especially if you're older than 25 and you even know who Pamela Anderson is. There's some point in your life where you like looked at a poster of Pamela Anderson and you were like, whoa, right? But now, thank God, I look at her and I go, you know, Pam, with your five husbands and your career and the fact that you made the money that you did and then sex tape with Tommy Lee and all that stuff, you know what? You lucked out because you have not got a lot of brains. But you look good and you got the Baywatch job from David Hasselhoff. And lucky you, because you got to matter in this world. Like, good for you, Pam, because you could have just been a stripper if things hadn't gone your way. And then it would have been a lot worse. And then you would have found many more of the ones, you know, during the course of your work, I'm sure. Anyway, so that's one of the headlines. There's a new Pam and Tommy movie, and Lily James plays Pam and Anderson in the series. So I can't figure out if it's a movie or a series, but either way, this Lily James, who is Downton Abbey star, and she has transformed into Pamela Anderson, and apparently people are saying it is a triumph. People are always impressed when an actor or actress pretends really well. They're blown away, like, wow! You know, for example, you could have some lady who's grown up in abject poverty here in South Africa, in a rural area, and she's had to raise four other people's children. She's had to till the earth with her bare hands. She's had to fetch water in buckets kilometers away. She's made it to 60 years old and has raised seven kids that weren't her own. And they'll go, but an actor or actress will transform into something special on the screen. And they're like, oh, wow. You can pretend so well. You're so good at pretending, and those makeup people are so good. And you lost a whole 10 kilograms for the role? And that granny's getting no credit for raising those 7 kids, but the actor gets credit for pretending, you know? So anyway, that's the story with Pamela Anderson. But here are my stories for the morning. First things first, Peter Dinklage, the dwarf, right, from Game of Thrones.
Great pretender.
He's a great pretender, and he's very upset because, you know, of course, we all realize that the most unfair thing that could happen to anyone is that Hollywood doesn't represent them properly, or that they're stereotyped in a movie, or that there aren't enough Latina women in, you know, a show about Europe in the 1600s. That's the kind of thing that really pisses Hollywood off, and actors especially, because they're all so woke. Well, Peter Dinklage, who can run under a table without bending his knees, is very upset because he says Snow White, which Disney's just remade, right? They made a Snow White movie. And you know it's called Snow White because she had snow white skin. And then there are 7 dwarves. The whole title tells you everything you need to know. There's this woman called Snow White, and there are 7 dwarves. Well, Peter Dinklage is upset because he says,
while the Snow White character.
Sorry, he doesn't sound like that, but that's how in my head. Yeah.
He's actually got quite a deep voice.
Yeah, he's got quite a deep voice. So he goes, while the Snow White character is now going to be played by a Latina woman, which again kind of obviates the point of Snow White. Anyway, not complaining. Maybe they needed some, you know, Disney needed to win over the Latina audience to Snow White because they might not have had that fairy tale when they were kids. And Peter Dinklage is upset because he's like, oh, they still use the word dwarf and they use these dwarves and there's 7 of them and they live in a cave and they mine. And it's so stereotypical of dwarves. And I'm like, what? You literally have made every cent you've ever made in your life by playing a dwarf because you're a dwarf.
And on the full movie, he was a giant. That was still a dwarf. He's a dwarf.
He's a dwarf.
So he played... He appropriated a normal height person. In fact, an extra normal height person. So that's weird that he's complaining
Peter Dinklage,
about that.
He may be an
But
awesome...
also, let's just remember the terms here. Dwarf, he's not a dwarf. He's the other disparaging term, midget.
No, he's a dwarf. He's a dwarf. He's got the big dwarf head. No, he's a dwarf.
No, a dwarf is a short person who still has the same proportions.
No, he's not. He's a dwarf. He suffers from, or doesn't suffer from, but he has a dwarfism. It's a thing.
Which is a person with the same proportions, just smaller.
No, that's a midget.
He's not.
That's a midget. I know this. I get into trouble for this all the
semantics.
Time. I've checked the definitions because I've got into shit for this over and over again.
Okay. I believe you.
So this fucking dwarf is complaining about being a dwarf. It's everybody else.
So, but is the term dwarf offensive? So, have we been globally told now that it's offensive?
Yes.
So are we supposed to say, is the correct
people
term
with,
little people?
No, it's like people with albinism somehow is different to albino. And people with dwarfism is different to a dwarf. But this is Peter Dinklage. The whole reason we know he exists is because he's a dwarf.
Wow.
It's so ridiculous.
It's an
incredible time. This is so ridiculous. And by the way, he's also...
It's weird because he's usually a really cool guy.
Yes, I know. And he's also ruining it for all the other dwarfs who might become actors. Because he's saying, from now on, I got through, but you guys can't because there's some discrimination shit going on here. It's like, no, dude, you can't complain once you're on the top floor that the elevator works.
There's a level of success where all of them get weird. You know what I mean? It's like he is now getting into that echelon where he's really done everything.
I just want to move
and
on.
And now he's starting to be a super powerful guy. They all get weird.
Yeah, they're weird. Like, and frankly, so now it's no longer Snow White and the 7 Dwarves. It's a Latina girl and... 7 people of indeterminate height that we can't really specify, but it's no longer.
Sorry, as a POC myself, you know, I just like maybe you guys don't see color because it's the Rainbow Nation. Shout out Madiba, who is a causer, by the way.
Oh my god!
I just want to tell you this, right? What is incredible was the worst movie of all time, Eternals, right? Worst movie of all time. Oh, yeah, do not waste your time.
Yeah, you said it's shit.
But in it, they've put a Latina woman, right? Mm. Salma Hayek, a little bit famous. You may know her,
lovely, yeah.
Her bosom from awesome. Many other movies,
yeah.
Right? Mm. So she is not articulate, right, in a heavy English-speaking role.
Why, you have
it
a problem
so
with
it? It's terrible to listen to for half the movie.
What you are saying about her accent, man?
That
Gringo?
I did that on my show on the MKT show. Yeah, I did it on my show like that, like what she sounds like. And no. The guy said I was racist. I'm like, no. I'm not. That's what, you know, she'd be like, that must be thinking, he'd be destroying the whole world.
Yeah, but
he'd be destroying nothing.
Well, welcome to the group of people who eventually will outnumber the people who are not in that group because they're calling everyone a racist these days. So I've got bad news for the people who use that term on everyone else. You're putting me, Mbulelo, and other people who are perfectly harmless and are not going around causing shit for people of other races because we hate them or we think we're superior or any of that shit. You're putting us in the same category as like the Ku Klux Klan and the Avia Beer. So good luck figuring that one out once you have real enemies on the field because
yeah.
We're not going to be there to help you. We're going to be like, but you called me that as well. So no, I'm not getting involved in your crazy mental antics. Anyway, enough of that.
Sorry, just to finish off that point before people go there, is that I'm pissed off when you let Christian Bale be a Nubian king in a movie about a Nubian era in Egypt. That's just a
thick-headed. Here's the thing. Peter Dinklage complaining about being cast as a dwarf is like us making the Black Panther Woody Harrelson. And then you know what I mean? It's like, what? Snow White. It's in the name. Snow White's got to be a white chick. That's the whole point. His skin is white as snow. I remember the fairy tale.
Yeah.
So now we put a Latina. Imagine they cast Black Panther as, let me think of who's the whitest person ever?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst is Black Panther. Imagine. Right?
Yeah, that would be wild. Okay.
So anyway, that's enough of that. There are other stories, but I don't know if we're going to have time for all of them. I'm going to give you one more. Prince Andrew, that sleazebag, he has denied he has a close relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell. Of course he's denied it, but we've got pictures. We got a picture of you, Ghislaine, and that girl who's alleging that you fondled her at a very young age. What's her name? Victoria Jeffrey or whatever her name is. Virginia Roberts. Oh, yeah. Virginia Roberts. Remember?
No, Virginia Jeffrey.
But her name is now Roberts, I think.
Oh.
Anyway, you know where the picture is. You know what I'm talking about. It's Prince Andrew. He's such a slime ball. He really is. He's the kind of guy, though. You know, I watched that interview when he did it months ago, and he was like giggling at all the wrong places in the interview, just like a creep would. What a creep, Prince Andrew. Anyway, so he's in the news again. He's denying that he and Ghislaine are friends. But we already have the pictures, dude. That ship has sailed.
We've got the receipts.
Yeah, that ship has sailed. Anyway, he's in the news again. Joe Biden is expected to nominate the first black woman to the Supreme Court. Why are we doing this? Why doesn't Joe Biden say, I'm going to find the best person to be a judge, and then you know, boom, she just happens to be a black woman. But that he says, I'm going to find and nominate the first black woman, means his priorities are, I'm going to window dress this thing because I'm only going to look at black women. I'm not going to consider anyone else. What an insult to black women that they're a special category that needs to get a special bit of consideration because obviously Joe Biden doesn't think black women in the law are worthy of being judged on their merit. It's unbelievable that we still just say okay to this stuff. How insulting to that woman who he's going to choose now. Because even if she has merit and she's the best lawyer in the whole of the US, everyone's going to go, she only got the job because she's a black woman. What a disadvantage to put that poor person at. Don't you think?
Yeah.
But it's weird.
But he's ticking boxes, weird. You see. I mean, he did this with Kamala Harris. He says, I'm only going to choose a black woman to be my vice president. So he does. And guess what? She's a disaster. She's the least popular, even among Democrats, vice president in history. She is a mess. She's unconvincing. She's insincere. And all of that is nothing to do with her color or her gender. Nothing. But you put her in a position where that's all people know about her. So she was unpopular as a senator in California. She couldn't even get into the primaries when she ran for president. Do you remember? She flaked out before she even got to run in her own state. She is a disaster of a politician, regardless of what color or gender she is. And then what does he do? He narrows the field. He's like, I'm only going to choose a black woman. He's doing this again with the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And what happens? Now Kamala Harris gets judged as being shit. How do you think that makes all the black women feel? Like, okay, yeah. you're basically giving us lip service. You're treating us like idiots because you want to tick some equity boxes. We see through this, dude. If I were a black woman and I were nominated to the Supreme Court by Joe Biden, I would be, let's just say, a little less likely to take this. I'd be like, you know what, Joe? Your track record of choosing people just because of their gender and race is kind of racist and sexist. And it kind of makes me feel like you're not looking at my merits. So you know what? Thanks very much. Even if I was the best lawyer in America, I'm not going to take your job because you've said you're choosing me because of my blackness and my womanness. Not really that keen. Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye. What an idiot. What an old senile dotard. Thank God we know that he was only selected because of his whiteness and his maleness.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Or maybe Joe's got a thing for the sisters. You know, I know white guys once.
Yeah, that's why he's married to the whitest
once,
woman.
Once that tick bites.
Why he's married to the whitest woman in America, Jill Biden.
No, that's looks a cover.
Like she, who looks like Listen. She's only been at Biggie Best her whole life long.
No, but you know, there are gay men with the world we come from who had a, what you might, you know, a heterosexual front. Maybe Joe's got a thing for the sisters, you know, a little extra.
If you find his diary, it says, I love squeezers.
Or LaFonda.
Well, that's another reason.
Why is his dog named LaFonda all of a sudden?
That's another reason to consider black women a victim group then, if you ask me. Because if Joe Biden's after you, you've got some problems.
This is true.
Smelling your hair when you're standing at the podium and he creeps up behind you and smells your hair. You know the pictures, there are like 20 of them of him doing that.
He wouldn't be the first American president. We know everyone's hero. Lincoln, we know that his great 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 grandkids are alive now and they, you know, look more like me than you guys. Let me just say that. So Lincoln got, you know what I mean? So
sinister cabal.
It's possible.
Sinister cabal's hit the nail on the head with this Joe Biden thing. It's the soft bigotry of low expectations. The people who do this are bigots. They are racists. They are sexists. The real racists and sexists are not coming from those places they always used to come from where you could see that they just hated black people or women or whatever. It was obvious, right? The real racists and sexists now are the ones who talk about racial essentialism. They talk about all those feminist things, but they don't really mean it. They're just putting up a front to make you think that they're an ally. And they're the ones you have to be the most careful of. You know that guy in the friend group.
Simps, they call them.
Simp.
Nowadays.
You know that guy in the friend group. The guy in the friend group who always like cuddles up to the girl after her boyfriend's been mean to her and he goes, don't know how. You're so brave to handle that. And he's such a horrible person. What that guy's doing is he's not really being an ally. He's a weakling and he's intimidated by your boyfriend because he'll only ever talk to you as soon as the boyfriend's left the room. And what he's trying to do is get into your pants. But he can't do it in competition with other men, so he's sneaky about it and pretends to be your friend. Before you know it,
when you're at your weakest,
he's crept into your life. That's those people. Don't believe they're your friends, please. All right. Oh, enough of that. I've got Nicolene on the line. She shat all over me in an email the other day.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Hey, Nicolene. What's happening? What's happening?
Hey.
Can we hear her? Nicolene, talk to me. No. See, Nicolene, this is what happens when I put you on with your brain damage. You forget to switch on your microphone, and now it's a problem for me. See what's happening? Can't hear you. Don't know. I'm gonna kick you out. Come back in.
You might have to rejoin.
Click on the link again, all right? Oh, see? No good deed goes
unpunished.
No good deed goes unpunished. What did I tell you?
Come on, Gareth.
I'm telling you.
My lord, please.
Bulela, what
You've
did
had
you say?
A real doozy 2 days. Let's see if Nicolene's back.
Is she? Let's see if we can do this again. Nicolene, can you hear us now? No. No, she's whispering into the wind. Ah, Nicolene. All right. I'm gonna see if Simpiwe can connect you, because I've only got this gap in the show. We've got an amazing, amazing hour in the next hour for you as well. Nicolene, I'm going to kick you out. Let Simpiwe try and sort this out for you. We've got Judith Sipuma joining us a little bit later on. Judith Sipuma is like an institution in South Africa. She's such an incredible woman. I love her to pieces. I've had her on the TV show when I was doing that. She's been a regular on cliffcentral.com. She is a household name in South Africa, and she is our guest this morning. We also got Borge coming in a little later with Auto Trader. So all of that's on the way. By the way, data and connectivity, you know, these things are fundamental to a smart city. Why am I bringing that up? Well, utilizing a range of things, including the Internet of Things, high-speed networks, data analysis, all of these things in a smart city can deliver on the promise of a better quality of life for all the citizens. This week, we have an episode of the Waterfall podcast, which is all about Waterfall's connectivity and data efforts. This is something which I'm sure is very close to everyone's heart. If you live in a suburb where you still don't have fiber, you feel like you're in the Stone Age. And Waterfall are so organized. I mean, those guys are just incredible. I've met Vili, who's the like estate manager of Waterfall. He's one of the cleverest people. And he's just put together a foolproof plan to make this South Africa's exemplary smart city. You've got to hear about how it works. You can get into it. You can actually discover who the people are, how it all works, what makes Waterfall so great, and what the cities of the future might all want to be like, just judging from the template that they've created here. You have to listen to the Waterfall podcast and tell your friends, and especially tell your friends if they live in Waterfall and they don't know about it, because what's the point of not being able to boast to other people that you live in the best, most high-tech, incredibly streamlined, efficient, smart city in Africa? What's the point if you don't know about it? Listen to the podcast and you can tell everybody. All right. Just to give you some background on who Nicolene is, while we're trying to get her back, she has been a friend of the show for many years. She's also someone who suffered a life-threatening head injury many years ago. She's made unbelievable progress. I met her because I work with Headway, which is a charity I've supported since, oh, wow. Leanne, it must be, what, 20 years I've been involved with them now?
Yeah.
And I've seen so many incredible people come out of there. Yeah, occupational therapists who fixed families and helped them deal with some of the most awful things, car accidents, people who've fallen off of high things and really
had strokes,
severe brain damage, strokes. I mean, you know, your mom has suffered from some of these kinds of problems. And let me tell you, your personality.
And interestingly, when my mom had her stroke, the therapists immediately said to us, you'll probably want to get involved with Headway.
Oh, really?
Top of mind. Yeah, huh. Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I know those people.
Yeah.
Well, they are incredible. And they could do with all the help. If you have any time and money and you do want to help them, really, this, if you want to call yourself a philanthropist, just donate some money to Headway and then I'll let you.
Yeah.
Because that is an organization that does tremendous work. And I've seen over these 20-something years, I've seen unbelievable progress. Some of the people who I thought, oof, that person's never going to come right, they are properly screwed. And you see at the next year's event or whatever it is, because, you know, sometimes I see them more than once a year. Other times I'll see them once a year and I'll see this progress happen. And because I haven't been there the whole time, it's extreme and it's like dramatic. And you think, wow, look at this.
But also the brain is so amazing because it can't heal, but it finds new paths. Yeah. To do the same functions that it was doing before.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And watching my mom's recovery, you can actually tell when her brain's creating new paths.
Yeah.
She wakes up knowing how to do things that she didn't know before.
It's phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. It's
and
amazing.
It's really spectacular to see, and it gives you such a jolt of hope. Let's get Nicolene on. Hey, Nicolene, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Hello, Gareth.
Perfect. We can hear you too. Don't look so cross. I eventually got you on.
I am cross because you're horrible to me.
I'm horrible to everyone. I'm, I'm horrible to everyone. What makes you think you're so special?
I know. Well, you know, gee, I thought you and I, you know, after all these years.
All right, so listen, you got upset because I had someone else who had a disability on, and you got disability jealousy.
I do.
Yeah.
So I've got disability jealousy. That's it.
What happened?
But where did this
come from? Tell, just give me the background, because I must be honest with you, I wasn't really aware of the fact that I had supplanted you in the Disability Olympics. What happened?
For years, it was a very big thing for me to tell, go around telling people that I'm your disabled person.
Yeah, you are. I tell people.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But,
and then I heard you had another disabled person and I got jelly.
Yeah, well, you're not the only disabled person in the world. Some of them also deserve some attention, yes. Not just you.
I'm the queen of the disabled, though.
You decided that yourself. So, all right. You decided. You know what?
I did.
So this morning, let's have a little ceremony just to remind Nicolene that she's very special to us here on this show. And we're going to crown you as the queen of the disabled this morning. So would you kneel, please? And I will knight you as Lady Nicolene of the Brain Damaged. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Okay, it's not damaged. It's injured. Wow. Brain injured. You have to get the title right.
Ah, potato, potato. Are you ready? Let's go. I, Gareth Cliff, hereby anoint you, Nicolene Holzhausen, by the power invested in me as the arbiter of the disabled community and as someone who's been appointed by God to look after the disabled and give them the due attention they deserve.
And so forth.
That you, Nick, you, Nicolene Holzhausen, you are the queen of the disabled here in South Africa. Now rise as queen and rule over all the other people with disabilities, whether they like it or not, and take your rightful place. Shut up, I'm busy anointing you. Stop being so rude. All right, very nice. All right, listen, honey, we love you. And are you still checking in with all the people at Headway?
Yes, I am. I am. Thank God they're still going through COVID. I had a chat to Bianca last night just to get up to speed with everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Headway is doing a lot of things online at the moment. They've now renamed the activity program to Headway Gauteng's Community Reintegration Program.
Okay.
Which the name says it all, almost. And together with the Headway Sundela program, they focus on socialism and connection.
Socialism? You mean, not socialism. I'm sure it's not socialism. Because if it's socialism, I'm out of there. If Headway are going socialist, I'm done. I'll wash my hands of it, I swear. That's the one thing I will not brook.
No, you know what I mean, like re-socializing people.
Yes,
yes. And
re-socializing them, yeah, I got you.
Yes, sorry.
No.
Thank God Headway's still going and helping people.
Mm-hmm.
They mainly work from the Hyde Park branch, but they are still able to go to Soweto between 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah. Listen, I would advise anybody, you can look them up as Headway Gauteng on social media, and Nicolene, yeah. they can do with all the help they can get. It's always good to have you on the show. There are some people who are arguing that you should not be, Carl says, Nicolene is a princess at best. I know others who are more worthy to be queen. Marco says.
And who's this Carl?
Look, don't get personal about it now. Marco says physical disability and mental disability are not the same. Just saying, of course, Marco is physically disabled. So he says to you.
They do overlap, though. If you have a brain injury, it very much can affect the way your body moves. So
yes, I'm sorry. Definitely.
I'm sorry, Leanne. Nobody asked you because you're not mentally or physically disabled, so shut up. We're having a conversation.
Hello, Leanne.
Nicolene, you know, I'm talking from experience, Gareth.
Yes, she is.
Mm.
Can I just tell you something on that note?
Yeah.
My brain sent the wrong message to my elbow, and now my elbow is stuck. My arm can't go straight.
That is a very peculiar and quite unique kind of disability.
Very specific.
Is there any marketing angle we can take with this particular problem that you're suffering from at the moment? Like, is there a
elbow stuck?
Is there a thing like maybe you can like work at a bar as one of those people whose elbow is always on the counter ordering more drinks? That kind of thing. Is there some sort of job we can do where the right angle that your elbow is now at could be marketed as some kind of like a set square for builders if they're busy constructing?
No, I've become very good at cooking. You know, like smashing things and things like that. So I've gained a lot of strength in the arm. So that's quite a good idea.
I'm always happy to have you on the show. Don't be jealous of the other disabled people. You are always going to be special. And I don't know more of this nonsense from you, all right?
Okay.
Right.
Okay, Gareth.
Good. Thank you.
Can I tell you a couple of things?
No, we have to go. We're out of time.
Oh, no. Boo. Sorry. Okay, well, I miss you guys.
All right.
You must be well.
Mwah. Be good. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Nicola.
Thanks for having me. Right.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, Jesus. All right. It is 7 o'clock, and it is time for us to take a little break. We'll be back in a little bit with the Judith Sipuma, among other things. This is CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. Woohoo!
CliffCentral.com.